Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. The Alaska Theater Festival starts tomorrow, Tuesday, a month-long theater extravaganza. This year, there's a lot to take in and a mix of both online and in-person events. Two play readings, the original work of two Alaskan playwrights, will be open to small audiences, one on Monday, May 17th, and then another reading the following Monday, May 24th. So joining us today to talk about their work is Frank Henry Kashkatas. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And also Annie Bartholomew. Hi, Annie.
Hey, Shelley.
Hey. Well, Frank, let's begin with you. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Kashaya Aksai, Adlekakhenak Frank Henry Katas, Yukhadwisauk. I'm Frank Henry Kashkatas. I'm a playwright from Douglas, Alaska, checking in from Douglas, Alaska, traditional territories of the Akwan. And I'm a playwright and actor and theater artist and teaching artist and a bunch of other fun stuff.
Thank you, Frank. Gnachish. Annie B., your turn. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Annie Bartholomew. I'm a musician and storyteller here from Juneau, Alaska.
Well, welcome.
And now playwright, I guess.
And now playwright added to the list of credits. That's awesome. Well, I'm so excited to talk to both of you about your plays. Frank, would you please just tell us a little bit about the Alaska Theater Festival? How did this come to be?
Well, it's part of Theater Alaska, which is a newer theater company with artistic director Floridolino Lagundino, who we've probably seen. He's been in Juneau for a long time and then took a little side adventure, side quest to New York and Minneapolis, among other places. And he and his wonderful wife, Jenny, and their young child are now back in Juneau, and they started Theater Alaska. And one of the things that they wanted to help promote was you know, in enhancing and enriching the theater community within Juneau. And there's a month long worth of activities and things to check out, including live theater, which is something I think all of us have been craving a little bit, especially within the theater world, with Macbeth coming up, and they're doing it in different spots around Juneau. I believe they have a cabaret. They have Theater Alaska had also started a playwriting workshop that I helped lead and facilitate for a little while, and I still kind of am. But and from that, we got the wonderful works from Annie B here, and I think there's 21 other playwrights throughout Alaska, because it's not just specific to Juneau. And they've been working to help develop and promote some of these artists. And hopefully the plays that they're going to be developing within Theater Alaska will see the light of day, much like Annie Bartholomew's wonderful play that she's been working on. And it's also been a great motivation for me to help. Big thing was accountability. So I think it's good accountability for me to get one of my play ideas on paper. And it's coming along pretty nicely.
All right. Thank you so much for that overview. Annie B., anything to add?
Well, I joined Theater Alaska, applied for the Writers Workshop this fall, and then just have discovered how incredibly encouraging and supportive they've been, meeting folks wherever they're at and turning them into playwrights. It's a pretty interesting and diverse cohort from all over Alaska, and it's just been such a pleasure to work with all them.
Well, let's talk about your play, Annie. I know that you've been researching the women of the Gold Rush for a few years now, and you've got some songs on the matter, and, I know you've been reading books and you've been studying, but what first got you interested in the subject?
I first got interested in the subject after playing a couple shows this one summer. I played one in Dawson City and Skagway, and during that time, my friends Cameron Bockett and Taylor Vidic were both working at the Red Onion Saloon, where it's a historic brothel museum. So gals dress up as like historic cultural interpreter sex workers and take you around. And I just found myself very haunted by the stories and objects that they presented there and just thought, I have to keep talking about this. Music is the medium I know best. So I thought, let me write some songs. And then kind of from the beginning thought, wouldn't like a one woman show or some kind of performance piece really accompany and give more life to these songs, a la Hadestown on Broadway? And so kind of working towards that idea, have been adapting this show and been having a ton of fun with it. And as Frank mentioned, accountability is so huge. If I didn't have this opportunity to work with Theater Alaska, I think I just would read the books for the next 20 years. Leo Morgan, who wrote Good Time Girls at the Klondike, she took 10 years to finish her book, and she did a lot more research than me, but the subject matter is just so interesting. And these women were so courageous and so inspiring. You know, it's been fun to live in that world.
Tell us a little bit about the characters in your play and the story.
So it's a composite character, inspired by a newspaper article that was published in the 1898 Klondike Nugget about a woman who comes from Seattle and loses her provisions in the 30 Mile Rapids, and then looks for honest work in Dawson City for 3 days and three nights. And as a matter of survival, goes to the Madame's and is rescued by her, and goes into life of the demi-monde, working as a prostitute. So using that as a framework, kind of carved out a character and used narratives from a Victorian sex worker who wrote about her experience. We don't have a lot of records of Alaskan women who worked in that industry, because you wouldn't have any incentive to write down that part of your past, knowing that it would be a taboo that you'd have to live with the rest of your life. So lots of really great source material about the Klondike Gold Rush. And it's just been very hard to narrow it all down. And then writing one woman show is difficult, and writing a historically accurate piece is also very, very challenging, because you'll try and write one sentence or one detail and it could inspire a 2-hour deep dive in my private library or on the internet trying to find things. So it's been a heck of a time getting this first draft finished. I'm so excited to hear it out loud. Christina Apathy is going to be doing the reading. Marion Call and Kat Moore from Anchorage are going to come down and do the music with me. And I'm just so excited to see which parts really stick and then do a next draft from there.
Oh, that sounds so interesting. And of course, your music will be incorporated into the show.
Oh, yeah. I've been having so much fun. Kat Moore does really amazing ragtime piano, among other things. Marion Call's playing guitar. I'll be on banjo all the show, which is a newer instrument for me. So it's going to be a big night.
I love that banjo journey for you, Annie.
Inspired by Maud Parrish, who brought her banjo to the Klondike and stayed for a season, made more money as a dance hall gal than playing her banjo in the saloons, and then got the heck out after one season.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It sounds like a great play. Frank, have you seen Annie's play yet, or have you heard it? Have you seen any parts of it or read any of it?
I've been so lucky to have read some, and Annie has been so kind to sing some of it for us. And it's a gift every single time. And I feel like so privileged to just sit there and listen to her wonderful voice and wonderful words and interpretation of these wonderful composite characters. So I think it's going to be awesome. It's in 1 week at Resurrection Lutheran Church downtown. So I'm excited, and I'm going to do my best to try to be there. So that's going to be so, so cool.
And Once Upon a Tide is the title of your original play that will also be performed in the festival. Yours is in 2 weeks. Would you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, it's sort of about some siblings, and it's a family piece, sort of. I don't think it's for the family, but it's sort of an exploration of a family and their relationship with their father, who is also a late father. And it's been a really fun sort of play to write. That's where I was I was running to get here from finishing up some writing on it. Where I went and wrote at UAS, and I was flying into the parking lot as I was supposed to be coming here. But it's been really cool to sort of explore this piece about the siblings. Part of it is they're guarding their father's body the day before their funeral. But the first half is sort of scenes with the father still alive and sort of exploring what the relationship is with him alive. And then it sort of gets into his passing, which isn't a spoiler. It's sort of talked about in the first scene as well. But yeah, it's been fun just to kind of dive into it. And one of the goals on this was to try to write it a little bit lighter hearted, especially when you're covering a heavier topic, because a lot of my plays end up being a little bit gloomy, it seems like. So I thought I'd try to do the opposite and take a gloomy subject and try to put it into a more positive light, I guess. And it's been really fun to kind of write the banter between the siblings, their sibling banter, and then how to work the father in there as well.
I always enjoy the humor that you bring to all different subjects, and just your style is I really enjoy all of your work. So I am looking forward to seeing this one, if I can get in. I know that seating is limited. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I wanted to just ask a couple more questions about your play, Frank, if I can, and answer as well as you can while avoiding spoilers. But I understand that one of the reasons the siblings they're coming home from somewhere. Where is home for the siblings?
That's so funny because I always write in an imaginary town within Southeast Alaska. And one of the things that I was advised from Vera Starbard before was if people guess what town it is, just to always say yes. So it's sort of this composite of a bunch of different towns and experiences. And I always throw in little Easter eggs to tie all my plays together, so they're all sort of set in the same universe and so usually the same town of this made up town somewhere.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I'll have to look for the Easter eggs now. And they're there to guard their father's body. What are they protecting his body from?
I don't want to give too much into spoilers, but you know, they're sort of just protecting the body overnight. It's part of your obligation to protect your opposite's body the night before a funeral. So I don't want to give too much away.
Okay. All right. Well, I also understand that they have this ability to protect the body because they come from an opposite moiety. Can you say more about that?
It's part of holding up your opposites. So it's like, you know, raven and eagles are each other's opposites. So if someone from the opposite moiety passes away, it's your obligation to protect their body overnight. At least that's my understanding of it and what my family had practiced in the past. So, and, you know, I hope I'm not offending anybody with that, but that's sort of where that inspiration, I thought it was a fascinating thing where we had to stay up all night and sort of, you know, the whole thing was you're there to guard the body and watch the body, but it ended up being just reconnecting with family members and, you know, playing cards and watching kung fu movies and things like that, which is not, you know, sort of not what we expected to happen, but it was always sort of fun.
Now, both of these performances sound like they're pretty centered on the dialogue without, I'm guessing, not much in the way of a set or special effects. Is that the case? Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the purpose of these readings, it's more to focus on the text generally for public readings like this in an early stage of scripts. It's usually to focus on the text, and it helps the playwright tremendously by hearing actors' interpretations and choices that they make and what works and what doesn't work or what still needs some massaging to make work. So that's sort of what the purpose is behind a lot of these.
Do you find that challenging?
It just in my experiences in the past, I think it's super helpful. I don't think it's so challenging. I mean, sometimes people are like, I don't understand this. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll try to make that more clear, or or what to try to help usher the play along, but I think it's an important step in the process. So,
Annie B., what about you? Are you, how do you feel about the intimate setting, the small audience, the way it'll be read? Are you scared, nervous, excited?
All of the above. You know, anytime you put work out for the public, it's pretty scary. And then, you know, Juno has really smart audiences, and I know they'll have really thoughtful things to say about it. But hearing it out loud is such an amazing gift, because usually, you know, you find ways to massage it, like Frank was saying, or autocorrect, or just a new actor's interpretation of it can change so much for you. Because when you hear it in your head and you only hear it in written words, you know, a lot of times it's more showing, not telling that you need. And yeah, I'm just so excited to get it out there and have this town, this community hear it for the first time.
Well, it's been great to talk to both of you about this. Annie, who's pretty new to writing plays, and Frank, who's a total pro. I loved hearing both of your perspectives. So let's talk about when and where the performances are happening and how we can get a seat. Annie, yours is coming up first, so why don't you tell me how I could get a ticket?
Yeah, so they're going to be broadcasting the performances from Resurrection Lutheran Church. The Theater Alaska website has more information, but it is limited seating due to COVID-19. On there, they'll have the link posted soon about how you can watch it from the comfort of your home.
Oh, that's fantastic. And Frank, anything to add? Yours is coming up May 24th. And Annie, yours is May 17th, 6 p.m. Frank, yours is May 24th, 6 p.m. Resurrection Lutheran Church is the spot for both of them. And both are limited to 15 seats in the venue. Anything else that I forgot to add?
No, you can find a lot of the information on Theater Alaska. That's with a theater with an E-R. Alaska.org, and you can reserve your tickets on the Jack website as well. But this is a really cool opportunity from Theater Alaska. It's a newer theater company. I'm proud to be the playwright in residence there, and they're doing a really cool thing with this theater festival. A lot of cool stuff happening, and they're thinking of creative ways to get theater, live theater, to different audiences. So it's a pretty cool thing.
That's great. Well, again, thank you both for your time today. I love talking with you about your plays, and I just hope it goes really well for you both, and I hope you have a great time with your performances.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
Take care, you too. Bye-bye.